Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. When at the time of the curse, God tells the woman, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the seed of the serpent. And he said, there's going to come a day, though, that your seed will put his heel on the head of the seed of the serpent. And it will bruise your heel, but you'll bruise his head. And that's the biblical language of authority. And it's got a mystical sense to it because the seed is not associated with the woman. It's associated with the man or with the male of any species. And in this, there was the hint of something miraculous, that God would do something supernatural in the birth of that one that was going to overthrow the serpent later on. And in the mouth of Isaiah, in Isaiah 7 and 14, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. God's going to show you something that will be a signal to you that will let you know what his plan is. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. When we turn to that first page of the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and around verse 23 or so, we begin to read about the angel's message to Joseph and to Mary. And the message was, call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Everybody say God with us. Now, the Jews were unique among all the peoples around them because all of the peoples around them were polytheistic and they believed in many gods, but not the Jews. They believed in only one God. And the most important passage of scripture to them is Deuteronomy 6 and 4. And they all say it together at the temple. And they say it when they get up in the morning. And they say it again when they go to sleep. And they want to utter that right before they die. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And when Isaiah said that that baby would be God with us, it was a miraculous and a mysterious thing, but it was going to be that God would robe himself in flesh and come to the earth to be a sacrifice and a cleansing for sin. God is very, very clear in his word, Isaiah 9 and 6. There is no murkiness about the word of God. It's very, very clear. One of my favorite scriptural phrases is concerning something God wants to emphasize. He will say often, this thing was not done in a corner. We didn't do this off over in a little area where nobody could see it. But God does things right out front for everybody to see. And through the mouth of Isaiah, he said, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. How many of you got a card this year with that scripture quoted in it? Yeah, it's a wonderfully favorite Christmas time scripture. And say, the government shall be upon his shoulder. If you're sitting near somebody, tell them he's talking about the baby Jesus, who will be Emmanuel, or God with us. Say his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. Turn to your neighbor and say the singular definite article, Mighty God. The baby will be the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Now you need to tell somebody by you, the baby that is born is the Everlasting Father. Now I know that that's kind of a hard concept for our small human mind to grasp, but the Word of God is very straightforward about it. It doesn't matter if you understand how he did it. All that's necessary is that you know that he did do that. That the baby that would be born is the Everlasting Father. Somebody say praise the Lord. He wasn't a part of God or a piece of God. God said, I looked everywhere and there was nobody to do this business of redemption. And so I swore by my own right arm. He said, I'm going to do this myself. And he came in the fullness of time. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. You say, well, he has a son. Yeah, the son is born flesh. The son is the package, the wrapper, the body, the lamb, the Christ. The son is the vehicle by which he came to the earth to purchase your redemption. Because God is a spirit and has not a body like a man. Praise God. But that Passover lamb, that atonement lamb, had to be vulnerable. God is not. Not in spirit. That lamb had to be able to bleed. God doesn't bleed. Not in his spirit. But God made him a body. He overshadowed the little girl Mary, conceived within her womb, that little body. And then God inhabited that body. Micah 5 and 2. The Old Testament told about where he would be born. When the three magi or the magi came to inquire of Herod where the child would be born that would be king of the Jews because they had followed his star from the east. The scribes got together because Herod didn't know. Pathetic, king of the Jews. But he didn't know when and where Messiah would come. But they inquired of the scribes, and the scribes got together, and they went to Micah, and they said, it's going to be at Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou, this is David's city, though thou be little among the nations, among the thousands of Judah, yet out of these shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Everyone say, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Somebody's about to come into the earth that is eternal. The eternal is about to step into the temporal. The everlasting is about to step into that is finite and that is not going to last. Praise God. And it's going to happen at Bethlehem. That gives us the geographical location of the birth. It's going to happen at Bethlehem. And he's going to be the everlasting Father. And he's going to be the mighty God. And he's going to be the everlasting one. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And as we get into the Christmas story of the Christmas season, it is incredible for us to see, you know, everywhere I go in this city, I see the lights and I see the trees and I see the hustle and I see the activity and I see all of the focus on this. And it's just for a small season of time. And they dig it up out of the closets or pull it down out of the attic and string it up on the outside and on the inside and probably spend a fortune that they don't have to buy things that they don't need to impress people that they don't like and grieve about it the rest of the year. And the bills come in. But it only lasts for a little while. And people believe in magic in this season of time. And people remember their childhood. And there's an innocence that breaks forth at this time. There's people that can believe God right now that can't believe him any other time of the year. But it wasn't meant to be kept in a box and to be opened up only one time of year. It was meant to be possessed and lived and walked and enjoyed all the year long. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we know who he is. I'm so glad that we don't just pull it down out of the attic and set it up in the yard and fuss with the ACLU over it about whether it can go in a town square or not. I am so glad that we can walk in the middle of this power, in the middle of June, in the middle of August, in the middle of April. He is yet the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And there's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like him. Miraculous, miraculous birth. Now, I thought it'd be good if we just read the Christmas story. This is the greatest gift to date that God had given. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Praise God. Anybody excited about this time of year? Do you love this? Is this exciting to you? Praise God. Matthew 1 and 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child, with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, or of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, everybody say, God with us. Praise God. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn. He called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. It is an awesome, awesome day in our life when we realize the gift of God and what it required, that God took off his heavenly robe and stepped into a robe of flesh, stepped out of the heavens. God, who is invincible, became vulnerable. God, who is untouchable, became a creature that Rome could touch and the Sanhedrin could slap and spit on, and made himself as helpless as a little child in a manger. What an awesome God. What fantastic love. What a tremendous, tremendous gift. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. It came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, and everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now even go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, and as it was told unto them. Someone say, praise the Lord. These things are prophesied, and they were fulfilled. The prophecies span to the book of Genesis. The notable prophets or prophecies from Isaiah were like 700 years before the birth of the Christ. And then these things came to pass. They came crashing into the world system, and God made his gift available. And shepherds saw it, and the Magi saw it. And if we would continue to read in Luke there, we would see where an old man by the name of Simeon had been told of God that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's salvation. And when they brought that baby to the temple at Jerusalem for the eighth day for the circumcision, Simeon was quickened by the Holy Ghost, and he knew that this was the salvation of Israel. And likewise, an elderly lady by the name of Anna had heard the same thing, and she knew the babe when she saw it because she felt an impression of the Holy Ghost. And there were those in Israel, those in Judah, who heard the word and received the word, and they were able to rejoice, and they were able to embrace the promise of God having come in their day. It is an awesome thing when the promise of God is fulfilled in your day. It is an incredible thing when the miracle of God prophesied from ages past breaks forth on the shore of your real-time experience. And this happened there. It came ashore. But as it is with all prophecies, there were those that embraced it, and those that rejoiced, and those that believed the report. And then there were those that they were naysayers. And Herod got his army together and wanted to slay the child and sent forth his soldiers. And it was a bloody mess there because of the resistance and the rejection of some, when the scripture was exceedingly clear and plain. This Jesus, who came in the body of a man, grew to the age of 30, ministered for 3 years, handpicked 12 to be his chosen disciples. He ministered, he yielded himself to be crucified on a cross, and died for our sins. He was buried in a grave, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. He kicked the door off death and hell and the grave, and he made a way for all of us to make our way into life everlasting. When he ascended into heaven, he talked to his disciples, and he said, now listen, I want you to go down in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. You'll receive the Holy Ghost not many days hence, and you'll receive power, and you'll be witnesses unto my name, beginning at Jerusalem. And he ascended into the heavens, and they waited there in Jerusalem. And on the day of Pentecost, there came among them this rushing, this roaring, mighty breath of God, this wind that came among them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And there began to be an explosion in the earth there. It happened in Jerusalem with 120. 20, and then 3,000, and then 5,000. And then it spilled over into Samaria, and the Samaritans, who were half-breeds, received the Holy Ghost. And then the Gentiles, the Romans, began to receive the Holy Ghost. And down at the house of those in Ephesus, Paul rebaptizes a crowd, and they receive the Holy Ghost. It has been 2,000 years since that outpouring began. And there are those of us in the house tonight that will tell you, someone may have said it's something that's passed by. Someone may have told you it didn't happen just like the Bible said. Somebody might have told you it's not available for you today. But just as real as that baby in the manger is the word of God concerning you in this far-reaching millennial, I want you to know there is a Holy Ghost experience for you. There is a word of God for you. There is a miracle that has washed ashore on the shores of your life in this real time where you are seated here tonight. There is a Holy Ghost. There is a Redeemer. There is redemption for you. There is the cleansing of sin. There is a way of life and hope. I'm telling you, if they rejoiced at the word of an angel, there ought to be rejoicing in the house of the Lord tonight. If they rejoiced in having seen the star, there ought to be rejoicing in this house tonight. Because they rejoiced over Emmanuel, which is God with us. But I want you to know he has taken another step toward mankind. And it's not just God with us, but now it's God in us. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said, according to the power that worketh in you. My God. Yeah, the whole world wants to believe the Christmas story, but the Christmas story is just the first chapter in a story of redemption. The Christmas story is just the first few pages of a story about what God wants to do in an individual's life in 2005. My God, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah. 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 Let me tell you something. I'm excited about his having come back then. And I'll get the lights down out of the attic. And I'll set up the candy canes in the front yard. And we'll have the presents. And we'll do the whole nine yards. But I am far more excited about the fact that he didn't just come empty-handed. But he came bearing gifts. He came to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And let me tell you, if you are excited about his first coming, if you're excited about when he came the first time, let me tell you, the same book that said he was coming to Bethlehem, the same book that said he was coming God in the flesh, the same book that said he was going to be mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, that same book said he's coming back again. He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives, and the mountain's gonna split. That same book said he's coming back for a people. That same book said the trump is going to sound, and the archangel is going to shout, and the Lord himself is going to descend from the heavens. My God, if you believe the Christmas story, let me tell you what the end of the story is. God's got a gift for you, and God is coming back. Somebody ought to shout a little bit about it. My God, if those shepherds shouted, you ought to shout in this house. If those wise men shouted, you ought to shout in this house tonight. Yeah, yeah. Brother John, I can't box this up and put it in the attic. I can't just take it out every now and then and say, oh, what a nice story, and forget I ever thought about it come January. I can't roll this up and put it away with all the ornaments and the decorations. This is something that walks with me. It moves in me. It lives in me. My God. It's not just a story, but it's life itself. It's not just an old story, but his hope is the only hope we'll ever have. Praise God. My God, let's gather around the altar tonight. You want to do that? Hallelujah. Can y'all sing gold? Come on down around this altar. If you're in the house tonight, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You know, God would rather pour out the Holy Ghost on you than anything else tonight. If you're first, step up on the steps. Step up on the risers there. Hallelujah. Come on. When you get down here, lay your hand on somebody. Look them in the eye and say, I'm so glad he came the first time. Tell them, you know who Jesus is? He's the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Why, he's God with us. Praise, praise the Lord. Now I want you to tell them, and I'm so glad I got the real gift. I've had my sins washed away. I've had my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I've got that tongue-talking Holy Ghost. I've got that anointed Holy Ghost. I've got that life-changing Holy Ghost. I've got that power to witness Holy Ghost. Now, don't tell somebody about that if you don't have it. Are you glad for what God's doing in you? Oh, but now lay your hand on him and look dead serious at him and say, but as good as it was when it came the first time, and as good as that Holy Ghost is, let me tell you, there's a promise in the Word of God. He's coming again. He's coming back. And I'm going to be ready when he comes. Oh, shout about it a little bit. Come on, take somebody's hand and say, come magnify the Lord with me. Come on, praise him. Go tell. To him and bless his name.